artist, teacher, writer, politician. Kalamazoo's Guy Lockwood was all these. Lockwood's early 20th century Socialist Party views were the focus of his political cartoons. His confrontational work challenged the American status quo in his regular pamphlet entitled The Billy Goat. Guy Lockwood was soon butting heads in the political arena. He became one of the first Michigan socialists voted to office. Lockwood served as a Kalamazoo alderman after his 1912 election. Kalamazoo historian William Breaksma published the article Guy Lockwood, a Socialist in Southwest Michigan, in a recent Michigan History magazine issue. Breaksma spoke with WKAR's Peter Wharf about how, in the course of his research, he was attracted to Lockwood's Billy Goat publication.
Both visually, since they were illustrated, and content, and of course the Kalamazoo connection.
So the Billy Goat was really what we know as some of the main body of Guy Lockwood's work. Can you sort of describe what the Billy Goat was? They were pamphlets, but they were an opportunity for him to publish his art and his writings.
They were. He had worked as an illustrator and sometime writer for a short period of time, quite successful socialist news magazine in Kansas. Girard, Kansas was the site. The writer there had wrote columns with his alter ego called the his One Hoss Philosophy.
Right.
With pithy statements about the economy. And he and Lockwood eventually came to a parting of the ways, and eventually Lockwood found his way to Kalamazoo. When he began writing here in Kalamazoo, he created his own version of the One Hoss Philosophy called the Billy Goat. And it was attempt to write in common sense and rather unadorned language the complaints of the working man and the wrongs foisted on them by the evil capitalists. And so he called his ego the Billy Goat, and the Billy Goat, I don't have my article right in front of me, but he butted in anywhere that he wanted to.
Bill, I found a quote from your article which sort of illustrates that folksy style from the Billy Goat, the series of pamphlets that you described. And you write in your article, as the principal writer for the Billy Goat publications, Lockwood sometimes adopted a folksy style. Quote, "Now you wouldn't think to look at him, but the Billy Goat is of an artistic sort of mind. Sort of leans toward the aesthetic, whatever that means. It's a term I once heard and often repeat, because it seems to lend dignity to my otherwise blunt way of saying things."
Yeah, I think that was drawn pretty much from a newspaper in Kansas as well. It's the same sort of folksy attitude, but attempting to project some intellectualism as well.
You describe socialism's way into the U.S. through Northern Europe, and
yeah.
This coincides with the time that Guy Lockwood was developing his own worldviews. Can you sort of describe how this, basically how this movement happened in Northern Europe to come to the U.S. and sort of set us in the times?
It was, of course, this was a time when large corporations came to dominate the economies of Western Europe and the United States. And it was before the Sherman antitrust laws. Monopolies were not, well, they hadn't existed until the mid-1800s, and they weren't initially thought of as bad things. But the monopolists, and particularly the factory owners, accumulated a great deal of wealth and power and really took advantage of working men. Large numbers of socialists were expelled from Germany by Bismarck, the chancellor there. and they settled in the United States, particularly in a lot of eastern states and cities in the United States in the late 1800s.
And then these views meshed with Guy Lockwood's worldview. Eventually, he rose to Kalamazoo alderman. Can you tell us about that path?
Yes. He came here initially to become a partner in an art school. He was an artist as well as a street corner politician. So while he was running his art school, first with a partner and then on his own, he also became involved in Socialist Party politics here in Kalamazoo. Did a lot of speaking and writing. He attended some Socialist Party national conventions, became more and more prominent around town, and his rise really coincided with the rise of the Socialist Party nationally. Eugene Victor Debs was the leading national politician of the Socialist Party, but there were others, and he had run as a candidate for president a couple times. By 1912, the party had gotten as prominent as it was ever going to be. Debs ran for president and received, I think, about 6% of the national vote. At that same year, Lockwood ran for city commissioner, for alderman, and rode the wave of the attractiveness of the Socialist Party into office.
This is Peter Worf for Current State. I'm speaking with William Braxma, the author of the recent Michigan History magazine article, Guy Lockwood, a Socialist in Southwest Michigan. Could you describe a cartoon or two that maybe exemplifies his views and his artistic style combined?
Well, there's one that appears in one of his tracts, which is of a working man, a laborer, certainly blue-collar laborer, a laborer, a big brawny guy, bent over with the globe on his shoulder, on his shoulders, and on top of the globe was a fat capitalist. Think the Monopoly, the banker in the Monopoly card game, wearing spats and a top hat and smoking a cigar while the laborer carries the whole world on his back. I thought that really encapsulated his political views and his artistic style.
You've put Lockwood's rise to local office in the context of the rising socialist movement in the United States in the early 20th century. Talk a little bit about some of these socialist views that Lockwood had in terms of personal property. What were his views about ownership of personal property and sort of the distinctions between public and private?
He did not at all oppose, of course, personal ownership of private property, but he was in favor, and this was the Socialist Party position as well, of public ownership of areas of the economy, railroads, financial institutions, mines, and the like. He was in accord with the views of the National Party and really did not like at all capitalists. Some of his private writings, letters to friends and acquaintances spoke rather harshly of capitalists, even into his later years.
It seems like another part of his view would almost be described today as sort of a Green Party agenda as it related to his thoughts about public parks and farmers markets.
That's true. And that was also not at all uncommon for socialists running in for municipal offices. Of course, national ownership of railroads and mines and power companies wasn't feasible on the municipal level. So a lot of socialist candidates ran their local campaigns on things that would benefit their blue-collar supporters, and those included parks, a lot of parks for that were accessible to blue-collar workers didn't exist at that time. Yeah, public transportation as well. I guess those all fall into the general category of things that would benefit blue-collar workers who had really been ignored by the major parties up till that time.
Guy Lockwood, a socialist in Southwest Michigan. William Braxma, thanks for telling us about this interesting character in Michigan history.
My pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.